The Environment, Agriculture, and Flooding Subcommittee will now come to order. Lexi, please call the roll.
Chair Buchanan.
Here.
Vice Chair Cheney.
Here.
Democratic Ranking Member Alexander. Representatives Brandon.
Here.
Busada Cabrera.
Here.
Campbell. Daly.
Here.
Diamond.
Here.
Fine.
Here.
Honchowski.
Here.
Lamarca.
Here.
McFarland.
Here.
Mello.
Here.
Mooney.
Here.
Umfroy. Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Tomco.
Here.
Trunau.
Here.
We have a quorum, Chair.
Thank you, Lexi. Members, announcements. Announcements. Please make sure to turn off your electronic devices or move them to silent. Members, today we'll have 7 bills on the agenda, so we have a pretty full agenda. We will begin with Representative Payne, PCS for HB 909, Pollution Control Standard and Liability. Representative Payne, you are recognized to explain PCS for HB 909.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Members, House Bill 909 aims to prevent local governments from forcing unnecessary additional site assessments simply because agricultural chemicals have been applied on the property. The bill clarifies the role of this DEP secretary to establish normal and customary standards for site assessment and does not preempt the enforcement of local governments through a local pollution control program. And that is the bill, Chair.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions? Questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Representative Diamond, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, that last statement is the statement that I just wanted to ask the question about. Because when I read the bill, I read it to say that DEP has the exclusive jurisdiction in looking at these issues. So would local governments still be able to evaluate these lands under the bill, or would it only be DEP that would have that role?
No, certainly. Excuse me. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the question. Certainly, local governments have the ability to evaluate. We are just trying to stop the local governments from going through the normal process of doing a phase one site assessment before they jump to a phase two site assessment.
Members, questions? Questions on the bill? Seeing no further questions, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony on the bill? Up first, we have Jim Spratt with Florida Nursery Growers and Landscape Association, who is waving in support. Up next, we have Gary Hunter with the Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association, who is a proponent, waving in support. Next, we have Courtney Larkin with the Farm Bureau, who is waving in support. Up next, we have Adam Bassford with the Associated Industries of Florida. Adam is waving in support. Thank you, Adam. Members, that concludes our public testimony. Is there debate on the bill? Debate on the bill? I see no debate on the bill. Representative Payne, you're recognized. Representative Campbell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. As I was trying to find my position here, my concern about the bill right now, as it is in its current stage, is just on how the government is going to be providing its enforcement of this bill. And so moving forward, I would like to see more details regarding that enforcement.
Members, further debate. Representative Payne, I just want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. This is something I've mentioned to you. In my line of work, you know, a lot of times we deal with this, and you know, I certainly appreciate the intent, what you're getting at behind this, and I think it's very important. So thank you for bringing this forward. And with that, I'm going to let you close.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Campbell, I enjoy spending some time with you to help get those items you noted clarified. It's really not changing anything that we currently do with regulatory authority. We allow DERM to have their pollution control responsibilities that are delegated by Florida DEP, but I'd be glad to share that opportunity to talk to you more about it. With that, Chair, I close.
Lexi, please call the roll.
Representative Alexander?
No.
Brannon?
Yes.
Musada Cabrera?
Yes.
Campbell?
No.
Cheney? Daly?
Yes.
Diamond?
No.
Fine?
Yes.
Honchowski?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
14 yeas, 3 nays.
Members, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, there was one minor, before we move on to the next bill, oversight of mine in the introduction. I clearly missed one of our newest and esteemed members here on the committee. Representative Campbell, you are, we welcome you to the committee. I think you're going to be a great part of the committee, and so we welcome you here today. If there's anything you want to mention or say, you're welcome.
No, I appreciate the recognition. I'm still trying to get my feet wet. I'm still trying to find the right door and the right entrance to go in, so I will be pulling on your jacket just to make sure I go through the right entrance.
Welcome, Representative Campbell. Members, up next, we will move on to PCS for, is Representative Botana here? Okay. Up next, we're going to move on to HB 105, regulation of smoking by counties and municipalities, by Representative Fine and Altman. Representative Fine, you are recognized to explain HB 105.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will present from my seat with your indulgence. HB 105 is a very simple bill. Today it is illegal for cities and counties to regulate smoking in parks and on beaches. So you are allowed to smoke in the dugout while you're coaching the Little League team. You can smoke on the jungle gym, although I wouldn't advise it, or a seesaw or the swings. This bill would allow local governments to regulate smoking in parks and on beaches, and that is the bill.
Members, are there questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions of the sponsor, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony on the bill? Okay. Up first, we have Tiffany Henderson with American Heart Association, who is a proponent. Up next, we have Susan Harbin with the American Cancer Society, who is a proponent. Up next, we have Bob McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. Bob is waving in support. Up next, we have Jane West with 1,000 Friends for Florida. Who's going to wave in support? Up next, we have Leslie Dugy. With American Lung Association, who is a proponent. Up next, we have Martha Enfield with Lee County Board of County Commissioners, who's waving in support. Up next, we have Tara Taggart with Florida League of Cities, who is waving in support. Thank you. Up next, we have Zane Smith with the AARP, who is waving in support. Up next, we have Martha Enfield with the City of Clearwater, waving in support. Up next, we have Jordan W. Leonard with Town of Bay Harbor Islands, who's a city council member, who's a proponent. You're recognized. Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Lindsay Cross with Florida Conservation Voters, Inc. Lindsay is waving in support. Up next, we have David Cullen with Sierra Club, waving in support. Any other public testimony? Okay, seeing no other public testimony, members, we're in debate. Is there debate on the bill? Representative Honchowski, you are recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair. And Representative Fine, I want to thank you for this wonderful bill, probably my favorite bill in this committee today. And as a former local elected, former mayor of Parkland, I had come up, this bill has come up in the past and it never made it to very far. And I just want to thank you for being a home rule supporter on this issue. And I also want to thank the Broward League of Cities, Mary Lou Tai, as well as several of my local elected officials who have been pushing for this for a while and also contacted me, Parkland Mayor Rich Walker, Coconut Creek Mayor Becky Tooley, Commissioner Bob Mayerson from Parkland, from Coral Springs, Commissioners Nancy Mateo and Joy Carter, and I look forward to supporting this very good bill. Thank you.
Members, we're in debate, but I'm going to do, before we move on, been brought to my attention, we do have a member of the committee who wishes to ask a question. Representative Daly, you're recognized. Oh, debate. Okay. Good. All right. Representative Daly in debate.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just want to echo Representative Honchowski's comments. I got a ton of emails from elected officials, local elected officials all across the state asking for support on this bill. Proud to do it and excited to do it with Representative Fine. Representative Fine, thank you very much for doing this. And always proud to support a home rule bill that you support. So happy to find more opportunities to do so as well. Thank you.
Ranking Member Alexander, you're recognized in debate.
I just wanted to say I'm looking forward to seeing Chairman Fine's new report card with the Florida League of Cities.
Representative LaMarca in debate.
Thank you, Chair. This is a great bill. I ran a bill similar to this that didn't get through this committee. So members, I implore you to support this great bill, and let's all celebrate Representative Fine's newfound support of local governments. And with that, I look forward to a unanimous vote.
Members, further debate. Debate on the bill. Seeing no further debate, Representative Fine, you're recognized to close on HB 105.
I wonder if there's some, motion where I can withdraw the bill or something like that.
No. There is.
No, with all seriousness, it is no secret that I am generally not a big fan of home rule. It's largely because of the name. I don't like the word rule used on any level of American government. I don't believe in state rule, federal rule. I just don't think we're a country that's intended to be ruled. And I think that when we use that language, we people take it the wrong way, and we end up with a lot of goofy stuff being done by local governments. Frankly, I think if we called what we did up here state rule, we'd do a lot of goofy things too. But I think it is important for us also to recognize that local governments do have a role, and it's to administer their areas. And I think this bill shows that we up here in Tallahassee understand that there is an appropriate role for local government in administering the parks and the beaches that they are in charge of. And you know, it's the number one source of litter on our beaches are cigarette butts. And I think that there is an opportunity for us to say there is a balance and that we do have responsibilities up here to set policy, but they have responsibilities down there to determine how they run their parks and how their beaches. And so I'm looking forward to getting my Defender of Home Rule Award this year. With that, I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you for that close. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brannon. Posada Cabrera.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Cheney. Daly.
Yes.
Diamond.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
Honchowski.
Yes.
LaMarca.
Yes.
McFarland.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, please show that the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Fine. Up next, we're going to take up PCS for HB 493. Representative Botana, you are recognized to explain PCS for HB 493.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair and Ranking Member, for having me here today. 493 defines a livery as a person who offers vessels for use another without providing a captain, crew, or any type of staff or personnel to operate. creates requirements, permitted programs for liveries to non-recurring appropriate, no, never mind that, provides requirements to for insurance renewals, livery permits, requires liveries to provide FWC with updated information within 10 days of any changes. Pretty much, folks, what this bill does, boating in Florida has really exploded over the last year, and we have some areas of liveries or boat rental companies, jet ski companies that are not really following the rules the right way. So there has to be some regulation there to really attack it, because we have a lot of people out there that just don't know how to boat, what to do, and they need to have the proper training before they go out. And this is the bill, sir.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, moving on to amendments, there are no amendments. Are there questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor? We have a real controversial one here. is there public testimony? Let's see what we have. Alex Fernandez with the City of Miami Beach is a proponent. Up next, we have Sally Heyman with Miami-Dade County, who is a proponent. Seeing no further public testimony. Oh, you are welcome. You are recognized.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and thank you for this opportunity and for the sponsor of the bill. This is a big problem in the community where I serve, and we are a coastal community with 7 miles along Biscayne Bay. And what we've seen is a rampant increase of charter activity that is not only impacting quality of life and how people could use their homes when they front the water, but what we've also seen are long-term impacts to the quality of our environment, to our seagrass by some of these boats. And so allowing some local enforcement on these charters will certainly help better regulate this issue that is impacting quality of life, but more importantly, is impacting the environment. So thank you so much for this bill.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Fernandez. And have you filled out a card for us? Okay. And what was your name?
Sally Heyman.
Okay. You're recognized, Sally.
Has been state representative, but now county commissioner. What do you say, there's life after the legislature, just going to a different venue. One, I'd like to thank the legislative body who last year did significant legislation as it relates to boating vessels and our waterways. Our state is 80% coastal around the state of Florida, so we all know the importance of it. Safety, health, welfare, thank you, Representative, and to Senator Garcia. Boating vessels is a real concern in Miami-Dade. I have 13 cities plus the county, and 12 of them are on the water. The bottom line is, this is an important act too. What it will do is increase the regulation of what we see in Miami-Dade and across the other 66 counties. Florida Association of Counties is in support of this fine legislation. What we need is increased regulation set by the state and enforceable by the implementers, our FWC, by our own zones, working with local law enforcement, especially Marine Patrol. And of course, increase of the penalties. What is shameful is when you have a one-night activity for thousands of dollars, and when they're approached for a compromising situation of health or safety, they get a ticket, and it's a cost of doing business, and they willfully accept it jurisdiction to jurisdiction, because at the end of the day, the profits are incredible for them. So I love that you're adding additional penalties and raising the cost of them doing business. And lastly, I'm hoping as this move forwards, you reinforce what was a success in your previous legislation. Make it seamless. We love our FWC down in Miami-Dade. We love our Coast Guard. But the reality is, with so much waterways, they need the assistance and MOUs of our local law enforcement. We have an incredible task force. Senator Garcia can attest to that. and we look forward to great legislation coming out of here. You have our support. I hope you all vote unanimously on it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Debate. Representative Mooney, recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank the rep for bringing this forward. This was brought to me early, and because I knew that Rep. Botana is in this industry, I thought his institutional knowledge would serve us all best using that. So I know that he scrutinized this bill over and over and over, because this is what he does for a living. So we don't really talk about increasing costs for purveyors. We talk about safety of not only citizens' lives, but also of our environment. And I really respect that you did. I'm glad you took that, because I would have not had the knowledge to do that myself. And I think this is a great bill, and I think it's probably long overdue. And I think in the end, it will not only help the environment, our safety, but also help the purveyors as well. It'll keep them out of liability issues. So again, thank you very much for carrying this bill.
Members, debate, further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Botana, you are recognized to close on PCS for HB 493, of which you are waiving your close. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representative Alexander?
Yes.
Brennan? Posada Cabrera?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Cheney? Daly?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Honchovsky?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Strong yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
16 yeas, zero nays.
Members, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably with a committee substitute. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll take up HB 1475, cleanup for PFAS. Representative McClure, you are recognized to explain HB 1475.
Thanks, Chairman. This is pretty simple. This bill holds harmless responsible parties of PFAS and PFOA contamination until the department enacts rules on how to assess and clean it up. And then at that time, they're going to go assess and clean it up. I will say that we do need to make a change. Didn't have time here. The federal standard has not been established, and we certainly would want to make sure we fall within that. So at the next stop, I will strike out the January 1st, 2023 language. That was there in anticipation that we would have already had the standard by now, and put some sort of placeholder in there, you know, upon the EPA finalizing it, something like that. That's the bill.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions? Questions of the sponsor. Representative Diamond, you're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Rep. I'm sorry we didn't get to chat about this. I was just wondering if you had heard from DEP as to when they anticipate this rule will be done, and then I guess when you would anticipate, based on that, that the legislature would be able to ratify it.
Representative McClure, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have, and unfortunately, there's not a specific time. I think everyone's I'm very hopeful it'll be this year. It needs to be this year. But we're talking about contaminant levels here that are in the parts per trillion. And the last that I had researched, the preliminary standard was 70 parts per trillion, and now they're talking about going all the way down to 7 or 10 parts per trillion. So I think they're just trying to understand what the effects of the carcinogen are, and making sure that whatever that cleanup standard is in a place that protects the general public. But we are dependent. It would be certainly outside of precedent on how we've done things in the state. You always need to fall underneath the EPA's guidelines, so we're waiting on the feds.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm just thinking about this. So what, I mean, until DEP makes its decision, I mean, why are we going to stop? I mean, if there is a problematic site of environmental contamination and somebody wants to bring an action about it, I mean, why would we shut that down in all instances? I mean, my concern here is it looks like this bill shuts those actions down in all instances until the rule is ratified. Is that correct?
Representative McClure, you're recognized.
Thank you. Just point of clarification, what line Representative?
Sure. So I'm just reading the section of the bill. Lines 35 through 43. So it says, until the rule has been ratified by the legislature, a person may not be subject to any administrative or judicial action under these sections to compel or enjoin site rehabilitation. I'm just concerned about that because, I mean, what
okay.
if...
Okay, so yeah, I can walk you through. And okay. the reason I wanted you to clarify is there's two places in here. There's that place, which I'll explain, and then another place on ongoing actions against the manufacturer of these products. Those cases can still go on. Why we're holding harmless these folks is they don't have the rule book to go assess and clean up the contamination. So in petroleum cleanup, as an example, we can open up to 62770 and go to work. There is a prescription on how to assess it. There's a prescription on how to remediate it. There are standards on closure. None of that exists. So you're going to ask responsible parties to go and assess and spend, this is not cheap stuff, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Remediation will be in the millions and millions of dollars with no rules. And then they're cleaning up to a standard that is unknown. So they get to a place where they think they're clean, they turn the system off, and then here come the rules. We expect this all to be here this year. It's a nationwide conversation. So, but it would be, I think, a disservice to your airports, your municipalities, your fire stations, to ask them to go out there and start assessing and cleaning something up without fully understanding what the impacts of doing that would be, not only from an environmental standpoint, migration, et cetera, and also from a financial standpoint. That's why we're holding them harmless, only until we have the playbook, right, Representative Diamond? Then once we have that, they are absolutely liable.
Members, questions? Questions? Seeing no further questions, there are no amendments. We're in public testimony. Up first, we have Kenya Corey with National Waste and Recycling Association waving in support. Next, Rebecca O'Hare with Florida League of Cities, who's waving in support.
I'd like the record to reflect that I'm 2-for-2 with the League of Cities this week. And I'm pretty stoked. Me and Chair Fine. Look at us.
Up next, we have Derek.
It's all the PFAS in the water.
Florida Airport Council. What was that, Representative Fine?
It's all the PFAS in the water.
All right. Up next, we have Derek McGee with Florida Airport Council, who is going to wave and support. We have Jane West with 1,000 Friends for Florida waving in support. And lastly, we have Jeff Scala with Florida Association of Counties, who's waving in support. Is there any other public testimony? See no further public testimony. Members, we're in debate. We're in debate on the bill. Debate? Representative Overdorf, you recognize the debate.
Representative McClure, I want to thank you for keeping your door open and talking about this bill with me. It's not lost on me, but I think there's a lot of folks in the room that don't realize the gravity of the situation associated with PFAS and PFOA. I can literally take blood from anybody in this room, and you will have contaminants of PFAS and PFOA within you. This will probably end up being the largest environmental cleanup this country has ever seen. And this is a serious, serious situation that I appreciate that the state of Florida is now starting to take the lead on this. One of the landmark cases is going right now through our judicial system in the city of Stewart. They were selected as one of those cases, and it's eye-opening as to what is actually happening here. So I also appreciate you proceeding with caution because of how that case is proceeding and how we are potentially going to be laying out how to deal with this in the future. They have taken a strong step in moving forward and cleaning up their water to make sure their citizens are taken care of. But if we change this standard today, literally entire municipal water systems would have to go offline or risk continuing to quote unquote contaminate their citizens. So again, I cannot emphasize the gravity of this situation. And I applaud you for bringing this bill forward and attacking it. Look forward to working with you and certainly am positive on this bill today. Thank you.
Members, further debate? Representative Fine, you're recognized.
Thank you. And my joke aside, this is actually a huge issue in my county. While not so much in my district, just up the road from my district in Satellite Beach, they sit next to a military base. Now it's called Patrick's Space Force Base, which apparently for decades used equipment that had this stuff in it, and they just dumped it into the ground. And so I've heard about this issue for years from folks down there. And not only has it made it into people's backyards at very high levels and into their drinking water, but because it's a very narrow barrier island, particularly where Patrick Space Force is, that chemical has leaked into the Indian River Lagoon, which, as if it didn't have enough problems, now has this to add to the list. So we can add a thousand manatees dying over the last year, and now we've got PFAS. They're not related. That's not why they're dying. But my point is, it's just another problem that we add to the list. So I don't know how we're going to fix it. It was a problem decades in the making, but we have to. And so I appreciate you running this bill to sort of start to map out the path to get the problem solved. So thanks for running this great bill.
Members, debate. Debate. Representative McClure, I want to thank you for taking the lead on this issue. I've had the opportunity to sit in with you on a number of these meetings. I know you've met with a lot of the stakeholders in the process, and I feel like this bill is in good hands with you shepherding it, and appreciate your leadership on the issue. With that, Representative McClure, you are recognized to close on HB 1475.
Thank you, Chair. That was quite kind, but Representative Overdorf has been behind the scenes just doing all the things you want a teammate on this. Representative Saroy was looking at this issue. We've been collaborating on it. And then, of course, Chair Tomko and you have, we've had robust discussions over the last few years. So it's time to get going on this stuff. And I just really appreciate all of your support. Thank you.
Good close. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander.
Yes.
Brannon. Posada Cabrera.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Hunchofsky?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Another strong yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative McClure. Okay, up next, we're going to hear from one of our very own members, HB 579, Aquatic Plant Management, by Representative Mello. Representative Mello, you're recognized to explain HB 579.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Members, I want to take you back in time prior to COVID, back to 2017 to 2019, when toxic algal blooms made national news. Water is the lifeblood of our state. Lake Okeechobee is the liquid heart of Florida. For decades, Lake Okeechobee has been inundated with invasive plants that have negatively impacted the health, the economies, the recreation, and the physical beauty of the communities that thrive off the lake. HB 579 would direct the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, in partnership with the Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences at the University of Florida and the Water School at Florida Gulf Coast University, to study the strategic use of innovative biomass nutrient removal technologies and mechanical aquatic plant management techniques where ecologically and technically feasible within the Lake Okeechobee watershed. It is my hope that this study will be the first step in determining better ways to reduce legacy nutrients in Lake Okeechobee and therefore reduce blue-green algal blooms that negatively impact Floridians. Members, I respectfully ask for your support. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, we're in questions, and there will be a strike all questions. We'll move on to the strike. I'll see no questions. Representative Mello, you're recognized to explain the strike all amendment barcode 098641.
Chair, thank you, Chair. The amendment is a technical amendment with language That is specific to what the study should include. It also clarifies how the appropriation is to be used and increases the appropriation. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? You're recognized, Representative Diamond.
Thank you. First, I commend you for doing this, Rep, and I'm up on the bill. I'm just reading this too much into this, but it looked like the amendment took out the word implement. So it said, the bill says we're going to study and implement this, and then the amendment says we're just going to study this. And I'm just curious, is there like a meaning, or is there any change beyond, by taking out the word implement, are we basically saying we're not going to do anything, we're just going to study this, or is the intent the same?
Representative Mello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Diamond. I have spent countless hours with FWC and both the universities to drill down and perfect this language. It is the purpose of this bill is to, of course, perform a study and have the study brought back to us in the next session. So that is the intent, is to perform the study, and that was asked to that word be omitted from the original bill.
Members, questions? Further questions? Okay, seeing no further questions. We're in public testimony. We do have some public testimony. Timothy Riley with American Sporting Association, Sport Fishing Association, is waving in support. Any other public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none, is there a debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Mello, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
I waive close, Chair.
All in favor say yay. Yay. All opposed? Please show the amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill now as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill, of which there is? Lisa Hurley with Collier County Board of County Commissioners, who is waving in support. Further public testimony? Seeing none. Members, were in debate. Debate on the bill. Debate on the bill. Representative Overdorf in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mello, thank you for bringing this forward. This is one of my more favorite bills this session, in that we're finally recognizing that mechanical harvesting has an opportunity to actually remove phosphorus and nitrogen from the lake once and for all. You know, when you spray a plant, that plant dies, it releases its phosphorus and nitrogen back in, becomes legacy back into that lake, as you know. And this is an opportunity now to listen to many of the members in our public that have cried out for mechanical removal. And this study allows us to really look at the cost, because that has been something that our agencies have said, this is way too expensive to do. Yet with this, it's also extremely expensive to keep that phosphorus and nitrogen inside our lake, inside that system, and we've shown that, as you said, causes those blooms. So I applaud you for bringing this forward and staying at it. I know it's been a hard time and a struggle bringing it forward, but that being said, I will be positive on this bill and look forward to the results of the study, and hopefully have some more mechanical removal over the next couple of years to get that phosphorus and nitrogen out of the lake once and for all. Thank you.
Members, further debate. Further debate. Seeing no further debate, Representative Mello, you're recognized to close on HB 579.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Overdorf. I think his comments are perfect, and with that, I close.
Thank you for your close. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Brannon? Posada Cabrera?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Hunchofsky?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Umfroy? Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably with the committee substitute. Up next, we'll hear from another one of our very own committee members. We'll hear HB 965, Environmental Management, by Representative Trunow. Representative Trunow, you may approach and explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair, members.
965. This bill is a creation of water quality enhancement areas. This bill speaks to TMDLs and BMAPs that were developed by DEP and others. This bill amends Chapter 373 of the Florida statute to authorize the Environmental Resource Permit Rule Authority to the Department of Environmental Protection for the implementation of water quality enhancement areas. Water quality enhancement areas would be required to achieve defined and measurable performance or success criteria for the reduction of pollutants in a water body. However, the bill allows for the future net improvement requirements to be addressed off-site at a water quality enhancement area, but only if reasonable assurances are provided to demonstrate that the use of the water quality enhancement area will provide a sustainable and net improvement to the water body. That is the bill, and there are some amendments to follow.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions? And there are a few amendments. Questions? Okay, seeing no questions. Representative Trunau, you are recognized to explain the strike all amendment barcode 043519.
Thank you, Chair. First off, it conforms the bill to the Senate version. As this bill is moving through the Senate, we wanted to make sure it's posture for implementation in the future. As it relates to water quality enhancement areas, in response to feedback from stakeholders, this allows for the implementation of water quality improvement projects that will help these comply with their BMAPs. Provides government entities with the ability to comply with new stormwater regulations that we have passed here recently. It provides direction for DEP to promulgate rules relating to financial assurances mitigation. Bankers must provide to the state when obtaining permits to build and conduct long-term management of these banks. Last, it includes language clarifying that the residential gray water technology that had passed in last year's reuse legislation shall be used for the multifamily residents and properties. So it's a tool that is going to help meet those goals.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Okay, up next we have an amendment to the amendment by Representative Diamond, barcode 909643. Representative Diamond, you are recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the chance to work with you and the committee staff, and certainly you, Representative, on this amendment to the amendment. You know, we've all been struggling with the issues that we've been discussing in this committee and elsewhere about the difficulties around the state's assumption of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers dredge and fill permitting authority program. And as we've discussed in other committees, where DEP is requesting 40 extra FTE to do that work. There's a section in this bill that I was uncomfortable with, and I think other members of the committee had some concerns about, relating to this idea that in order to deal with that backlog, that a private entity could pay DEP to get their permit moved to the top of the stack, and just sort of the optics of that. And I'm pleased that we've been able to have those discussions about taking that section out of the bill. I think it sort of puts DEP in this awkward position of having to accept payments from private parties that are seeking DEP to make a decision on the permit. And in light of that, I think it should come out of the bill, and that's what the amendment would do.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, were in questions? Questions on the amendment to the amendment? Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Representative Diamond, are you aware that this practice is currently happening with the Corps of Engineers and private companies?
Representative Diamond.
Well, I think my awareness of that is not really material to the issue of whether we should be authorizing DEP to do it in this bill. You know, I mean, this bill really seeks in the main part of the bill to create these water quality enhancement areas under Chapter 373. This is tacked on at the end. It's a different statute. And I'm just concerned, you know, you got a situation where I'm trying to get DEP to approve my permit, right? And it's really important to me that DEP do it. And I come in and I say, look, I know I've paid you in the past to expedite these. This one's real important to us. I'm going to pay you twice as much. And I know you'll take a hard look at it, right? And we, you know, the bill sponsor, to his credit, put some language in there that says the department shall ensure that these contracts do not substantively or procedurally affect the impartial evaluation of the entity's permit application. But I just think from a process perspective, I'm uncomfortable with it. So
I'll take that as a no. You weren't aware that this is a current practice that's happening throughout the United States in other areas.
Well, what I am saying, Representative, with all due respect, is I don't think it should happen here.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And just as a point of clarification, a question through to the bill sponsor, so everyone on the committee has an idea. Representative Trunow, is this a friendly amendment to the amendment?
Thank you, Chair, and yes, this is a friendly amendment.
Thank you for that. Members, questions? Questions on the amendment? Is there public testimony on the amendment? David Cullen is waving in support. Great, thank you. Further public testimony? Seeing none, is there debate on the amendment? Debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Diamond, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Just appreciate the committee's favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, all in favor, say yay.
Yay.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Please show the amendment has been adopted. We're back on the main bill as amended. Main amendment as amended, thank you. Is there public testimony on the amendment? Frank Bernardino with Polk County. Frank, you're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, good morning, and thank you so much. Or are we in the afternoon? We're in the afternoon. Thank you so much for hearing the bill. And I apologize to those that we were not able to get to. When you get the 48 hours notice of a bill being on an agenda, you scramble to try to get meetings, and you don't always succeed in getting everybody. Frank Bernardino representing Polk County, and I wanted to talk a little bit about why this bill is so important to us in the local government community. The legislature has done an amazing job in the last couple of years in advancing the mission of cleaning up our water bodies. And part of what you've done is you've invited the private sector to be innovative and to bring you ideas. We have $10 million, and now this year the House has proposed, through the leadership of Chair Tomko, I believe $15 million for innovative technologies, which is amazing. It's inviting the private sector to come and bring their best and brightest and give us the best ideas that we can to address the issues that you've discussed earlier about water quality. Another area where this bill seeks to invite the private sector to assist is in expediting the implementation of projects to clean up our water bodies. And let me give you the specific example for Polk County. We have a river in Polk County, the Peace River. It has a Basin Management Action Plan. It is impaired. And we are directed by rule from the department to take and implement projects to clean up that water body. And we've identified approximately 14 projects that are going to cost $1 billion. We don't have $1 billion. And so what this bill proposes to do is to do two things that is going to help us in a significant way, and we're currently in discussions with a private sector party to do this, is it allows us to use our own funds to finance a project, but the private sector is going to come in and build a project in advance. They're going to begin to clean up the water now. And we're going to enter into an agreement that is going to allow us over time, as our funds allow it, as we secure grants from the state, as we secure appropriations from the state legislature, to pay for that project. The other way that it does it, which is really innovative, is as we implement the projects in our capital improvement plan, as we build roads, as we build schools, as we build prisons, we're going to build a new courthouse in Polk County, it allows us to achieve the net improvement component of the future regulations off-site. And for those of you who are not familiar with stormwater regulations, the Department of Environmental Protection and the Water Management Districts cannot issue a permit now, nor will they be able in the future, if the stormwater coming off of that upland or wetland, because both have stormwater runoff, impacts negatively your neighbor with regard to flooding, floods your neighbor, or if the runoff off the property impairs the water body to which that water drains. You cannot do that. But what the new regulations that are being promulgated now as a result of the bill that you all passed last year, 712, is going to require is that all applicants in the future do something in addition to help clean up the water bodies that are already impaired. That is net improvement. And what we would like to do is to be able to work to use that additional increment of treatment and the payment for that treatment to occur at a regionally constructed site that is built way in advance of our projects being implemented. So this is a very innovative idea. This is really progressive. I think it'll help our water bodies get cleaned up sooner, and we could not be more supportive, and we thank the sponsor for bringing the bill forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, is there debate on the amendment? Debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Trunow, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
A wave closed, thank you.
Seeing Representative Trunow's wave closed, all in favor say yay. Yay. All opposed? Please show the amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill? Up first, we have Jane West with 1,000 Friends of Florida, who is waving in opposition. Up next, we have Beth Alvey with Audubon, Florida, waving. Hi. Welcome, Beth. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, Chair Buchanan and members of this committee. I'm Beth Alvey, Director of Policy with Audubon, Florida, and thank you for the opportunity to make comments today. House Bill 965 would incentivize the creation of large private stormwater treatment areas that developers could buy into rather than managing their stormwater impacts on-site as currently required. I served on the state's Stormwater Technical Advisory Committee, and this is a concept we contemplated, but only in very urban, very built-out areas where there isn't sufficient land to build a treatment area that would both treat and improve the water quality of the water being discharged. On-site stormwater management is always the best option for downstream private properties and for public trust. This idea was one that was discussed as a concept for consideration, but one that would need further refinement. The bill as written takes this as yet untried and untested mitigation concept and allows for it to be implemented all across the state. We have spoken with Rep. Trunow's office, I spoke to him on my way here as well as with Mr. Bernardino to express our concerns, and we have offered to work towards improvements that we hope will provide greater assurances of improving water quality in this basin and across the state. And I'd like to share a few of our concerns and our suggestions. The most important thing that I think we need to understand is the real impact of the bill is that it will allow environmental resource permit applicants to meet water quality standards through activities that may be far away from where the impact is occurring. And this would be a significant change in the way the ERP program is being implemented, will be implemented. The benefits of any project must be felt in the same basin where the impacts occur. And the bill currently is not prescriptive enough to ensure that the impacts in one community would not be offset in a distant community, creating pollution hotspots. We want to avoid that. When quantifying the impacts of development that is to be offset and the value of the benefits being purchased, the evaluation must be weighted by the location of both sites in the basin. The bill language indicates that for applicants for environmental resource permit approval may no longer need to incorporate on-site water quality retention features and instead rely on purchase of credits in one of these banks. This could have dire consequences for neighboring private and public landowners, and this is the reason why the ERP standard of personal responsibility currently requires that permittees must not cause or contribute to water quality violation at the point of discharge. If this bill concept is going to work, The development must still be responsible for ERP permitting requirements, and anything over and above that requirement could be met by the water quality enhancement area. We're gratified to see the amendment that was just adopted that does not allow public and private entities to fund staff for expedited permitting, so we want to say thank you for that. And in summary, I'd like to say that this concept is still in its infancy, and its shortcomings could have real implications for Florida's water quality. We believe it's premature to allow it to proceed in its current form. We recommend that the water quality enhancement area be tried as a pilot to no more than two or three sites across the state to test the proof of concept before allowing full-scale statewide implementation. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Representative Overdorff for a question.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today. I do appreciate your comments, and you always come very well prepared, and so I appreciate that. Are you aware of the Calkins Water Plant in Martin County?
Ms. Alvey.
Thank you. Yes, sir, I am.
So a variety of other water farms and other things around our state that have proven time and again that they are not only taking water out of the system and not allowing for that downstream discharge, but they're also actually taking phosphorus and nitrogen, improving the water quality. I mean, we're spending millions and millions on these, and yet I'm hearing that you're saying that it's unproven technology to remove phosphorus and nitrogen and the other materials that we're talking about here. Yet we've invested tremendous amount of money in this. So I'm a little confused as to how you can say this is unproven technology, yet we're doing it every single day, and we're doing ribbon cuttings, and we're applauding, and we're sitting at some of those with you as we're applauding this technology. So if you could expand upon that a little bit and maybe clear up a little bit.
Ms. Alvey, you're recognized.
Thank you. That's a fair question, Representative. I think what we're doing here is taking a South Florida concept and implementing it in Southwest Florida. South Florida, we have a lot of water. The way that area has been plumbed and channeled, water comes from the northern ends of the watershed, fast and furious, gathering with it all its pollutants. So South Florida, that watershed, what it needs is dispersed storage to help store that water and then also clean it. So you're right, it is providing cleanup benefits, but the way those benefits are calculated within the BMAP process is different from the way it is anticipated in this bill. In this bill, we're looking at specific ERP permits. So it's not a one-to-one, at least the way we see it, is not a one-to-one comparison. And so what we're trying to see is how we can make this work within the framework that we would like to. I think they're looking at it per development and how, if to meet that net benefit requirement, how they can access the benefits from this regional treatment. I think that's what we're trying to work out.
Rep. Overdorff for a follow-up.
So right now when we design a site, we have to deal with a 100-year storm or 20-year storm, different things like that as we go through the drainage process. The standards associated with phosphorus and nitrogen that you're allowed to have downstream or contain on your site have also changed. Mm-hmm. So some of the sites that we're talking about specifically have been built out, and there is no opportunity for them to adhere to these current standards that are put in place, and rightly so, they should be. We need to reduce this. So I think that's where this bill has an opportunity to come into play, in that if you look at a mall, for instance, there isn't an area for them to enhance the water quality in that. There's not something in that urban setting. But there is an opportunity potentially within that same stormwater basin, because that's what this talks about. We're not talking about a water quality impact in St. Pete being taken care of in Naples. We're talking about this takes care of it in the same basin. So I think that it's a little short-sighted, and I'd like for you to expand upon why you think that we cannot adhere to an ERP when we're doing it every single day and potentially doing it for our neighbor.
Ms. Alvey, you're recognized.
Thank you. Again, a very fair question. I think the best treatment is source control, right? And there isn't the opportunity to do that all the time. And that's why I said the statewide stormwater TAC, Technical Advisory Committee, explored this for areas that are very built out, where it would be very difficult during redevelopment to be able to meet whatever the state's requirements are. And so when we think about this, we want to make sure that there is treatment being provided at the very least, in the area where the impact is, and perhaps the net improvement part of it could be accessed from this regional treatment area, enhancement area. But we also need to look at how proximal this treatment area is to the area of impact. And yes, basin is a word that means a lot, so we need to be specific, and I think that's what we're trying to get at. The current definition says something to the effect of an area where it's reasonably expected to provide benefit. I think we need to narrow down the scope, maybe talk about the WBID or other planning units that will be specific so that we know the benefits that need to be, you know, where the impact is occurring is where you will receive that benefit. I think that's the thing that we're trying to get at.
Thank you.
Thank you for your, testimony. Members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill as amended. Debate on the bill. Representative Fine, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. I'm going to support the bill today, but I'm going to ask my friend over here to do me a favor. I get nervous, and I voted against a bill a couple weeks ago where there was a concern where you could do damage in one place and then, you know, fix it somewhere else, and that somewhere else might be far away. And my friend, Representative Overdorf, next to me is telling me, and I trust him, that we don't have to be worried about it here. But if there's anything that we can do, I like the idea of trading. If I create a problem on my piece of property on the Indian River Lagoon, and some guy four you know, lots down can fix it at a less expensive price than I can and create a net benefit, well, that's a good thing. We should all want that. But if I can create a problem on the Indian River Lagoon and doesn't get fixed anywhere near there, that concerns me. And so I'm going to support it today, but my ask of you is to ensure that wherever the positive, wherever the negative happens, that the positive and the net positive apparently takes place right there. And I know that you'll work on that to make sure we, if it's not already tight enough, that it'll be tight enough moving forward.
Vice Chair Cheney is recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair Buchanan. Thank you, Representative Trunau, and thank you for talking to me extensively about this. And it scares me that I have the same exact thoughts as Randy Fine, Rep Fine.
that is scary.
It's a little scary. But whenever I see the word mitigation in a bill, it causes me concern. And so without repeating everything that Rep Fine said, I would, I do trust you, Rep Trunau, that you will continue to work with the opposition to this and address any issues if they are there. So I'll be up today and I look forward to you making sure this is in the best interest of the state.
Representative Diamond's recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I just want to thank you, Representative, for the opportunity to have all the discussions we've had about the bill and for being open to those ideas that we discussed, and appreciate that very much, sincerely. And for those reasons, I'm going to be up today. And I know that you know, I share some of the comments of my friend, Representative Fine. I think, you know, we'll keep working on it. We heard some good testimony today about how the scope of the bill might be narrowed or some other concerns that might be addressed. And having worked with you over the past day on this, I know that you'll take those additional comments under consideration. So I'm up today and look forward to seeing where this goes. Thank you.
Members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill. Representative Unchowski, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And I just wanted to echo what the others have said. Representative Trunau, you are very accessible, and I really appreciate, first of all, how much you care about this issue and also how willing you are to work with all the stakeholders involved to make it the best it can be. And I trust you going forward that that will continue, and I really appreciate your work on this. Thank you.
Members, debate. Representative Mooney in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. You know, mitigation is a sort of an ugly world in today's world. But, you know, what gets lost in all this translation for, I think, a lot of people is that we're actually trying to fix up the ills of many, many years ago when there wasn't 22 million people living in Florida. And things were built without any thought process as to what was going to happen next to them. And now here we sit with close to 23 million people in Florida. And we're actually trying to fix things. And we don't get to knock things down and start over again. So mitigation in and of itself, yeah, we could all just be happy to say, now we don't need to do that because we can fix it right now. But, you know, at some point we have to tackle this thing. I too, like Rep Fine, everybody else, everybody's concerned about that word mitigation. I'm a big believer as long as it stays within the basin where it comes from. But I think Rep Orvidorf made a great statement. You know, in the main, I live in the Keys. We don't have a lot of these issues. We have pretty good stormwater regulations, but we don't have facilities to do it. But what we can do is make sure that the rest of the state doesn't continue to contaminate near shore waters and drinking water. So that net gain, as you said, in many ways can be a positive gain for a lot of areas. Not only does it create areas, it creates habitat. It brings birds. It brings fish. So, you know, again, I know you're working all the concerns you heard. Rep Diamond, great job with the amendment. Thank you for bringing that forward. I think that's important. Anyway, we'll be watching it the way down the road. Thank you.
Members debate. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know this is a good faith effort and a work in progress. And there are a lot of great things in the bill. Appreciate you considering the amendment offered by Representative Diamond. I'm going to vote no today in that spirit, just as a reminder that we still need to work on this. And looking forward to seeing a better product down the road.
Members debate. Debate on the bill. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative, thank you for the work you've been putting in on this and continue to. You know, this is a proven technology that we've seen in thousands and thousands of acres across our state. Does it work in every single instance across our urban areas? No. And that's why we have an approval process, a permitting process that goes through to define what sites it can and what sites it can't work on. And I have faith in DEP. I have faith in our regulatory bodies that look at this and see, that manage the BMAPs, and that look at our overall TMDL program that's currently in development and will continue to be. This gives a potential solution, just like in the Keys, as Representative Mooney pointed out. Their mitigation was to remove all of their septic tanks and go to sewer lines. So they mitigated for a problem down there. This situation, we don't always have that when you're talking about large areas and urban runoff. And so I appreciate this. I appreciate the opportunity to continue to work with you on this, to really define the project and keep at it, because this is something that the state of Florida needs from a standpoint of water quality and improving our water quality daily. Thank you.
Members debate. Seeing no further debate. Representative Umfraw, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so very much, Chair. Representative Trunow, I've realized that in the Florida House, if everybody's a little bit uncomfortable, that you're on the right path. So thank you so very much for the work that you put in on this bill, and continued blessings on your journey with it. Thank you, sir.
Members, debate. Last call. Debate. Seeing no further debate, Representative Trunow, you are recognized to close on HB 965.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for all the questions and concerns and the ideas. This isn't a new idea. This is an idea that was hatched a long time ago. DEP already has some of these things in place. This is a step towards getting them implemented. So as this thing moves forward and we flush out the questions and the discussion, we'll come to a better place. But then it'll go to DEP for rulemaking, and then those rulemakings, we'll see that again next year. So as Florida grows and things are happening, water is essentially the lifeblood of what we all do, and we have to protect that in every way, and this is a tool that will help us get there. Again, I thank all of you for working with me on this bill, and I look forward to moving it right on down the line. With that, I close.
Thank you for that. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
No.
Brannon? Posada Cabrera?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Ponchofsky?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Trey Buchanan?
Yes.
16 yeas, one nay.
Congratulations. By your vote, the bill has been reported favorably with a committee substitute. Okay, up next, we have PCB EAF 22-01, Statewide Flooding and Sea Level Rise Resiliency, by our very own Representative Busada Cabrera. Representative Busada Cabrera, you are recognized to explain PCB EAF 22-01.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Last session, we recognized the importance of a statewide coordinated effort to address flooding and sea level rise with the passage of our Always Ready legislation. Now we have the opportunity to build on this historic law and continue strengthening the resilience of our communities across the state. The bill creates the statewide Office of Resilience within the Governor's Office. It will be headed by the Chief Resilience Officer. The bill also requires the Department of Transportation to develop a resilience action plan that will recommend strategies and design changes to improve the resilience of the state highway system. With respect to the statewide resilience plan, the bill requires the Department of Environmental Protection to rank and include in the plan all eligible projects that were submitted. It expands the entities that can submit projects for the plan to include drainage districts, erosion control districts, regional water supply authorities, and special districts that manage an airport or a seaport, and allows local governments to use existing vulnerability assessments to identify projects for the plan. In addition, the bill expands the Resilient Florida Grant Program to allow small cities and counties to obtain grants for pre-construction activities for projects they submit for the plan. The bill also requires the Florida Flood Hub for Applied Research and Innovation to provide flooding data to cities and counties for vulnerability assessments funded by the grant program. To better understand and address inland flooding, the bill establishes rainfall flooding standards for vulnerability assessments for inland communities. The bill extends the dates by which DEP must develop the comprehensive statewide flood vulnerability and sea level rise data set and assessment by 1 year. And lastly, the bill authorizes the Division of Emergency Management to receive elevation certificates in digital form to help reduce the number of physical paper certificates the division receives. That is the bill.
Thank you for that explanation, Representative Busada. Are there questions of the sponsor? Members, questions? Representative Diamond for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, thank you for your work on this bill and for our discussions about it. The question I had related to the substance or the main part of the bill on the Resilience Action Plan, as I'm reading it, this is only for one agency, which is FDOT. And I guess I'm wondering if you had thought about other state agencies developing resilience action plans, and why is it limited only to DOT?
Representative Busada Cabrera.
So you're right, it was targeted to Department of Transportation in this legislation, but I'd be happy to talk with you offline to see if there's other departments that you think might also benefit from guidance like this.
Members, other questions?
Follow up, Mr.
For a follow-up.
Thank you. Thank you for that answer, Representative. I look forward to that. And then when I read what the bill actually asked DOT to look at, all it's really asking DOT to look at is the state highway system. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that decision, because I know DOT has responsibilities for all sorts of other transportation assets that might be impacted by the flooding and issues that we're dealing with. So, I mean, would you be open to a discussion about expanding this beyond just our state highways?
Representative Busada Cabrera.
You're right. We did specifically target the state highway system in here, but of course I would be more than happy to talk, to explore what other options you think DOT should look at as well.
Members, questions? Seeing no further questions, we do have an amendment. Representative Diamond has brought forward amendment barcode PCB EAF 22-01A1. Representative Diamond, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I appreciate the effort here and what this committee is trying to do, and certainly our discussions on this, Representative. You know, when I looked at the committee bill, which came out a day or two ago, and I looked at it for the first time. We are creating in Section 1 of the bill an Office of Resilience within the governor's office that will be headed by a chief resilience officer. And I think that's great. But that's all we say. And I think it's important, if we're creating a new entity and a new position in state government, that we provide direction as a legislature as to what we want that position to do. You know, we're creating a new position, we need to define what that position should do. And so that was my first attempt yesterday to do that in the spirit of this being a committee bill. That's what I tried to do. So the amendment provides some direction as to what we think the chief resilience officer should do. And let me just go through that. First, we're asking the office to identify and monitor those areas of the state that are at the greatest risk for recurrent flooding. Second, to, upon the request of any regional resilience entity or local government, because we have these regional resiliency coalitions now, to review and comment on plans for the construction of flood defense or resilience projects, to serve as the primary point of contact on issues relating to state resilience planning across state government, assisting state agencies in their efforts to develop resilience action plans. Four, to initiate and assist with the pursuit of funding opportunities for resilience initiatives. Five, to coordinate the dissemination of the best available science, guidance, and planning strategies to the public. Six, to recommend policies to the governor, the legislature, local leaders to mitigate against the impacts and reduce the root causes of sea level rise and flooding. And seven, to calculate and track costs to the state of resilience projects. So that is the amendment.
Thank you for that explanation, Rep. Diamond. Members, are there questions? Questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony on the amendment? There's no public testimony on the amendment. Is there debate on the amendment? We're gonna move back just a little bit. Vice Chair Cheney has a question on the amendment.
I apologize, you were moving so quickly. Representative, is this a friendly amendment?
Representative Posada Cabrera.
So while I appreciate Representative Diamond's efforts, and I know this is an issue that's incredibly important to both of us, including this role, at this time, we would ask to not adopt the amendment and hopefully keep working together to, you know, maybe do this at a later time.
Any further questions? Okay. Seeing no further questions, debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Diamond, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think this is an important discussion. I just would like to take a minute to close if I can. You know, we're here to consider a committee bill. This is our shot, as I understand it. And you know, I appreciate the idea that we're going to work on this later, but we've had all these committee bills drop this week. And I think for this process to be effective, the committee has to have input at this stage in terms of what the bill says. And I spent a lot of time when the governor first appointed Dr. Julia Nishwa to this role, learning about the work that she was doing, and I was really impressed. And it quickly became apparent to me that this is a lot of work. What we're asking, what we're going to have this position do in state government is a lot of work. You know, you have to coordinate with all these local counties and cities all around the state who are having these problems. I mean, Vice Chair Cheney and I have them. I know Representative Mooney has had these issues, and there are local leaders that are looking for somebody in state government to work with on these things. You have to coordinate on policy. You have to coordinate on communications. And so I think there just has to be a recognition here that we can't just slap in the creation of the office. We have to fund it. We have to build it out. We have to explain what it's going to do, because these are big challenges facing Florida. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would just ask the committee to consider letting me go 2 for 2 on a rare day, you know, which never happens in the Florida House, and ask for everybody to vote up, and I would ask for a roll call vote, please. Thank you.
Thank you for that close. Representative Diamond, members, I'm going to have Lexi call the roll.
Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Brannon? Posada Cabrera? No. Campbell?
Yes.
Cheney?
No.
Daly?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Fine?
No.
Ponchofsky?
Yes.
Lamarca?
No.
McFarland?
No.
Mello?
No.
Mooney?
No.
Umfroy? Overdorf?
No, ma'am.
Tomko?
No.
Trunow?
No.
Chair Buchanan?
No.
6 yeas, 11 nays.
Thank you, Lexi. Please show the amendment has failed. We are back on the bill. Is there a public testimony on the bill? Up first, we have Beth Alvey with Audubon waving in support. Thank you, Beth. Up next, we have Don Sheriff, Environmental Defense Fund, waving in support. Up next, we have Cody Rogers with the Clio Institute, waving in support. Up next, we have Jeff Scala with Florida Association of Counties, waving in support. Up next, we have Rebecca O'Hare with Florida League of Cities, who is waving in support. Thank you. Up next, we have Lindsay Cross with Florida Conservation Voters, Inc. Lindsay, you are recognized. Is your mic on?
No, here we go. Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair and committee members. I'm Lindsay Cross, the Water and Land Policy Director for Florida Conservation Voters. It really is reassuring to see such a strong focus on resiliency by our state. We support this bill, and we encourage you to go further. We know that Florida is one of the most vulnerable places in the world to flooding and sea level rise, with 1,350 miles of coastline, which is the second most extensive in the entire nation. Regional groups from around the state, including where I live in the Tampa Bay area, have been working collaboratively for many years to inventory risk in their communities, utilize the most up-to-date data and mapping, and develop local and regional resiliency plans and actionable projects. The commitment by the state through a new Office of Resilience and the Resilient Florida Grant Program is a game changer. However, as we go into next weekend, the Super Bowl, I'd like to think about how we're balancing our offensive and defensive strategies. No one would argue that playing smart defense is important. Having a good understanding of where our critical assets are, including our transportation infrastructure and other regionally important infrastructure, as well as our natural resources such as freshwater, is important and will help us be better prepared. And we encourage investments to be prioritized towards projects within local communities that are on the front lines. But you don't win a Super Bowl playing defense alone. Our focus on defensive measures must be coupled with action to address the root causes of intensified flooding and increasing sea level rise, which is our reliance on dirty fossil fuels. Our state, through your leadership, must be proactive. We encourage you to strengthen the bill by adding a commitment towards renewable energy and doubling down on protecting our natural areas like wetlands that not only recharge our drinking water, but actually store carbon. While we can't adapt our way out of climate change, we can be victorious if we play offense by aggressively addressing the root causes, as well as playing defense by maintaining our commitment to resilience efforts like this. And in our search for a new chief resilience officer, let me just note that Tom Brady is now out of a job, and we know that he surely can move the ball down the field. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Ms. Cross. Up next, we have Kate Westner with American Flood Coalition Action, who is a proponent, waving in support. Thank you. Up next, we have Jane West with 1,000 Friends of Florida, who will be waving in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony, members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill. Debate. Representative Diamond, you recognize the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry to have so much to say on this. It's important, and I just appreciate our friendship, and Representative, appreciate our friendship and the chance to talk about this. And, you know, I, first of all, would, as a Bucks fan, much rather have Tom Brady stay for another season than go do this, but can't get everything in life that you want. You know, I'm excited about the fact that we're starting this conversation. But I do have to express some disappointment that that from my perspective, the bill is very limited. And, you know, when you think about the number of agencies in state government that are impacted by what's happening to our changing climate, and this bill only focuses on DOT, you know, I mean, just think about agriculture and all the ag issues here. You know, we've got to have a more comprehensive approach, and we've got to have an approach that actually gives some direction and some teeth and some funding to the position of Chief Resilience Officer. And as some of the testimony we heard today, you know, we've got the sink on and the flood is coming and we're mopping up the floor, but we're not doing anything to turn off the sink, you know? So, but thank you all for your consideration of the amendment. Look forward to working with you on it as it goes further, and appreciate your work, and I'll be voting up. Thank you.
Members, debate. Debate. Representative Cheney, and debate.
Thank you, Chair Buchanan. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this forward. As you know, I was part of the suite of bills that was part of this Ready Florida last year, and I'm really happy to see that we're taking the first step in implementing all of that that we passed last year. And I would agree with Rep. Diamond that, you know, that this could be broader, there could be more to do, but, you know, we always can do better. And I know you're committed to that. And, you know, I'm here to help you in any way to make sure that this is the best that it can be. And I'm up today. Thank you.
Members, debate. Members, debate. Yes, so I'd just like to thank you for bringing this forward. Obviously, you know, I've enjoyed working with you on this. And, you know, I look at this as more or less putting some of the finishing touches on what we did last year. And in fact, and Representative Diamond and I have had a few conversations about this. I brought this to you, and I thought you were going to love it. In fact,
I'm voting yes, yeah. Mr. Chairman. So, I'm voting yes.
Well, good. I wanted to make that clear on the record. But I appreciate our conversations around this, and some of these points have been things we've been discussing for quite some time, so appreciate you bringing that forward, and we can continue to have conversations. Representative Busada Cabrera, I'm going to let you move on to close.
Thank you, Chair, and to everyone for your discussion today. Let there be no confusion that we want to make sure that we put forward the best work product possible for our communities, for our state. We have passed the most comprehensive flooding and sea level legislation, and we are on our way to being world leaders in combating flooding and sea level rise. You know, right now, our communities are flooding. Near my home in Miami, we are seeing more frequent sunny day tidal flooding interrupting businesses and daily life. Hurricane Irma inundated downtown Jacksonville with the worst flooding seen in the 250-year history of the city. Roadways became rivers. Inland in the heart of Florida, Paynes Prairie became a lake, shutting down US 441 for months. The state has already awarded over $640 million in resilience projects, the most significant investment in the state's history, including over $70 million to the Tampa Bay region. This is just the beginning. We need to ensure that we protect our state, we protect our communities, we protect our homes, we protect our families, and we protect their businesses. Because flooding, climate change, sea level rise, they don't care where you live, which zip code you're in. They affect all Floridians. Thank you.
Great close. Lexi, please call the roll.
Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
Representative Alexander?
Yes.
Brannon? Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Hunchofsky?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Umfroy? Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Tomko?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Busada Cabrera. Well, members, we... travels home, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. That concludes our meeting agenda. Seeing no further business before our committee, Representative Mooney moves we rise without objection.